All right, so it's been a while. The last one we did was Vav. So basically, as you recall, certain degree of repetition, although there has been nuanced chidushim in each new perek, but basically the theme has been the yin-yang of Jewish history, so to speak, in terms of the fact that, you know, we go from not emphasizing Yirat Shamayim enough to overemphasizing it. And one of the things he had mentioned in the previous chapters was the importance of Yira as the Otsar, as kind of the ability to sustain and maintain our Torah. And even if it's not what's called Gufei Torah or Halacha, which sounded like what he thought was quote-unquote real Torah, or Torah Lishma, which is learning just for learning's sake and not just to get closer to Hashem, even though you, as a byproduct, do get closer to Hashem. But nevertheless, that's not Torah itself. But you need it, because without it, you simply cannot be machzik the Torah. The kli for that, Yiras Hashem Otzaro, as the Pasuk said, the kli is what holds it together, and that is the Yiras Shamayim. So I think we're up to Perek Zayin. We're going to try to do Zayin and Ched are both small, so I think we can try to get through both of those today. Uluzos, therefore, he says, in light of all this, Ru'il Adam Lachin Atzmo Kol Eis Kodom Shechil Mod Hitchashev Ma'at Im Kono Yitbarach Shmo Batarat Halev Biras Hashem Tahar Mevanosav Behirhor Tshuva, says Rav Chaim. And therefore, in light of all this, it makes sense that before you learn each day, you should take a moment, pause, whether it's 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it is, or a minute. But he's talking about something clearly not that long, and have some kind of cheshbon nefesh, Hirhor Tshuva, etc., before you start learning, in order to accomplish that yira, which will make the learning you're about to have sustainable, because you're creating that kli kibul. So that the Torah should have that spiritual benefit. Furthermore, you should be makabel that your learning should be amanas laso, right? If you're learning about, you know, this year, this is man is even easier for you than it was in the previous man. You're learning, you know, beitza and hechos yomtiv. So all these things are practical, even if you're not focused on the halacha l'maisa. That's kind of a separate point. But the point is, you're learning about halachot. P.S. at the end of each sogya, you can always look up the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. But even just be your exposure to these halachos, I think, will make your experience of Yom Tov more meaningful and more rigorous. So you should be mekabel on yourself that all your learning should be lamaisa, and that you should live up to whatever the things that you are learning are. Asher yireh v'yavin darkov hanagato mitorah hakadosha. And you should understand Hashem, get to know Him, and understand His ways better. V'chein chesherotel ayem b'dvar halachem. When you're actually looking into a specific halacha, then, no doubt, he says, ro'il hispalel shizakeo yibarach la'sukei shmai sadil b'hochosa. Right, you got to get it right. Right, that's, you know, one of the things which I think people sometimes aren't honest with themselves about. There's an attraction to theoretical lumdus because, you know, the stakes are low. Like, you know, okay, and if I got the pshat wrong in the Rambam, you know, it's just all about what the pilpul is hanging in my head. Now, okay, if you insist, other people say the pshat wrong in the Rambam, you know, you couldn't sleep at night, and but still, okay, sleep is also overrated. Meaning, at the end of the day, you can't compare that to a posek who's giving a psak, and he knows that someone's about to do something or not on Yom Tov. You know, I know that for me, I haven't gotten that many quote unquote life in the shilohs, but when you get those, or even, you know, someone knocks on your door, you know, my child just did this. Can I go to the hospital on Shabbos? Can I call the ambulance? And anything like that, you know, let alone end of life shilohs, right? Like, that's just not the same thing as, you know, what's the pshat, you know, in the 200 degree Rambams, right? It's a much higher urgency. So he says, no question that anyone, you know, with a degree of Yirat Shamayim is going to daven for Siyata Shemaya, that you should get that right. In other words, what's the bottom line of this paragraph? That there's a bridge. In other words, we're not creating a Chinese wall between these two things. Yes, they're different. They're not the same, Torah and Yira. They're not. We shouldn't confuse them. And the learning has a certain independent value and a primary value. But there's room for Yirat Shamayim interspersed. So that was all pre-learning. That's to say, as a, you know, preface to my learning, as a preface to a psak, I should, you know, daven for Siyata Shemaya and make mekabel on myself, and I should be able to, etc. Then he says, next paragraph, furthermore, v'chein b'amsa alimud, harshus nesun al-adam l'hafsik zman muat, you could take a little bit of a break, terem yichabem libo yirato yibrashmo. So you got on fire, or you learned a little Mesil Sesharim, or you had a little Kabbalah, you know, before morning Seder, and now it's like two and a half hours later, and you're feeling a little drained, you know, maybe that fire is, you know, flickering a little bit. You don't want it to fully extinguish, and therefore, even in the middle of the learning, yikabel, shekibel, alav, kormas, chas, alimud, that spark, excuse me, that started before you were learning, and maybe it's flickering a little bit, it's weakening a little bit, litbonein michadash, so think about it again, odmat b'yirush Hashem. Right, just like, you know, you go to get some coffee, or you take a break, you know, in the middle of morning Seder, classic. So too, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of a physical pick me up, a little pep. You know, if you guys have sat near me at various points morning Seder, right? I'm a vociferous, addicted drinker and consumer of caffeine in the liquid form usually. Okay, so if that's what you need to keep yourself going, that's not, you know, Bittul Torah, that's something you're doing as a part of a Kiyum Yer Torah. So if you need to have this Yer Shamayim kind of, you know, fire on the back burner, but you don't want it to go out, so every now and then you need to throw a little log on the fire. Now, I would add, just like it's Kedai, you know, if you have to take a little bit of a bathroom break, you need to take a makolet break, you need to take a coffee break, you know, there's the two-minute one, then there's I kind of got lost, and I had to check Facebook, and, you know, someone sent me something, and, you know, 2 minutes can turn to 10, we can turn to 20. So too, you know, he doesn't give you a formula, but he uses the word, you know, ma'at, or mu'at. You know, we're not talking about, you know, turning morning Seder upside down, or your chavrusa upside down, but a little bit of musr, a little bit of yerushamayim, absolutely, not only in the beginning, but if necessary, even in the middle. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Mashal Adam Sh'amar L'Shlucho. For example, if a person says to a shaliach, Ha'alei li kur shalchitim la'aliyah, take up, you know, can you purchase, can you bring for me a certain measurement, let's call it a kilo, of wheat, put it up in the attic for storage. So he says to the person, the shliach says back to his boss, to the balabayit, I did so, but when I was taking the kur of chitim, it's not 100% the kilo of chutmin, because I added what he calls of chitim, of wheat, I added this thing called chutmin, which is a kind of a preservative. So maybe it's 0.9, you know, 9/10 of actual wheat, but I mixed in some preservative. Amrlei lo. Amrlei mutav. So he says, you know, then you shouldn't have done it. Amrlei mutav shlo helita. Well, if you didn't want that, then it would have been better I didn't put it up there, because for sure it would rot without that. But kail emsa esek betvuas achma Torah. Similarly, he says this is a mashal, just like you need that preservative to keep the wheat fresh and not rotting. So too, sometimes you need to, you know, be mechazik yourself in the middle. Roy gam kein la'arif betocho yirat Hashem kadesh titkayim tamudo biyado. Right, we want the Torah to stay. You know, again, it's a nechama, maybe only nechatzi nechama, but it's a nechama when, you know, you forget your learning, but you tell yourself, and I think they're makorot even to say this, but, you know, it had an edifying benefit even on the way, you know, through. You know, it kept on going and it all went all the way out, unfortunately, but it doesn't mean that it was a waste of time, because just, you know, it's washing things out on the way out too. But we'd rat, you know, but that's okay, that's something to tell us if we've forgotten. But we don't want to forget. Okay, so there are all sorts of memory devices and all sorts of things. You know, there's a rabbi who's a little bit older than me, and there's Rabbi Feiner from Far Rockaway. Rabbi Tarigan from Shiva Kotel, his brother-in-law. Anyway, he's a very accomplished Talmud Chacham and a well-known speaker. And one of the things he's somewhat famous for is having, you know, an incredible memory. You know, I've never seen him give shiur in person, although I've heard many recordings. But I think he may not have too many notes, if at all. And he quotes, like, everything. He's always quoting Makoros and 1,000 sources in every shiur. So apparently he has somewhat of a prodigious memory. Anyway, I heard him interviewed on a podcast, you know, earlier, like some point earlier in the year or last year. I can't remember when. And they asked him about it. And he's, you know, he didn't give away all the secrets, but he basically said, you know, I wasn't blessed necessarily with a great memory. First of all, I work at it. I don't know what his tricks are, but like, he studied. Like, what can he do to improve his memory? Number two is, he said, I daven that I shouldn't forget my learning, because that's one of my main bakashos every day, if I remember correctly. He said something to that effect. So that's the ultimate goal, right? We don't want to be amaratzim, but at least we didn't have bittul Torah because I learned all day and I forget everything. Right? We really do want to know what we learned. But there's a benefit even if we didn't. So what's one of the ways? What's one of the ways? I don't remember if this came up on the podcast, but you know, you should tell them to take a look at Nefesh HaChaim. It's not just the davening that I should have a good memory, Hashem help me, but it's working on one's Yirah Shamayim, right? The more you make yourself a Kli Kibul, his previous metaphor was, you know, if the basket has a crack, it doesn't matter how much water you fill it, it's going to keep on dripping, right? So if you have, the better the Kli Kibul, meaning the better of a person you are, then, you know, in addition to whatever natural memory you have, in addition to whatever memory techniques you can benefit from, but then there's the spiritual benefit, you know, that hopefully that will have. Ulechein. Smach etzlo ha-braisa, tani rei Rabbi Yishmael, me'arev adam kav chutmin, b'kur shal tevuav, eino choshesh. It's considered honest in business. It's not considered like ona, or like deceptive, fraudulent practices. If I tell you I'm selling you a kur, even if it's really only, 0.9, because it's a preservative, because what would be the point of selling it to you without that? Huadin medina gezel v'ona. This, in the laws of stealing, or if I'm, misrepresenting my sales to you, if I have a store, asher mekomo b'seder nezikin, umay shat yohachi. So if that's the case, what is it doing here, in this sugya? We see from this, just like in business, hagam shinir ki gezel v'ona, you might have said, well, 1 second, I see, you water down, as you know, right, there's a tchina you get in certain restaurants, and there's like a tchina you get like in yeshiva, right? Water down, right? So if someone sold you that, as real, you'd say, what are you talking about? It's half water, right? So on some level, there's adding things you're not supposed to add, which is a problem. On the other hand, he said, since the Elmnam Kevash HaKav Afar Hu HaShimor V'Akiyum Hu HaKol HaKor Tvua Eino Choshev Yishom Gezel. However, each type of food has a certain formula that it needs in order to have a preservative. Adding that is not Gezel at all. And it sounds like, again, I'm not holding in all the details of Choshev Mishpat, but I'm not even sure you have to tell a person. But if this is a certain product, which is, no, you need a tenth of whatever, per kav, whatever it is. That's just called, I'm selling you a kav of whatever, I'm selling you a kilo of whatever. Of course, you're going to include that, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if that's true in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchos Mekka Chomemkar, in the laws of business ethics, Kain or Shai, so too, a person is permitted lahafsik ulavatel zman muat mihalimud, ul bonein maat biyad Hashem. So it's not considered, you're quote-unquote stealing from Torah, it's not considered bitul Torah to take that momentary break a little bit, even in the middle of the learning. Because that's the only way you can guarantee and be sure that you'll be able to actually maintain and sustain the learning. As an agav, by the way, even though that's not his goal, it just shows you how seriously it takes bitul Torah. Right? It's like comparable to like stealing. Right? Stealing time, especially when you could be learning. Now, of course, the complex thing is, it can't be, just intuitively, it can't be that, well, since I sat down to learn, my talking is a problem, but if I hadn't sat down to learn at all, so it's not in the middle of a chavrusa, therefore it's okay that it can't be better to do 30 minutes of learning and 30 minutes of batala. Sorry, it can't be worse to have an hour in front of the TV versus, I learned for 40 minutes, and even though it's supposed to be an hour, chavrusa could be batala for 20. Right? So that can't be, right? So figuring out what counts as bitul Torah to me is actually quite a hard question, because I think it's clearly very contextual. In other words, yes, maybe when you're in yeshiva, the expectation is you're learning X amount, assuming that that's realistic for you, and only Hashem knows if you really could have been doing a 4-hour morning seder, or maybe you really only could do 3 hours and a half. But the point is, whatever you could be doing, to not do that is, is bitul Torah. So everyone needs rest, and everyone needs downtime, and everyone needs some relaxation, right? We probably need less than we tell ourselves, and I start with myself. So I have no idea what, my tab will look like for bitul Torah, but I'm not looking forward to seeing it. But to the extent that I'm right, that I needed that break or this break in order to be able to learn, so that's not bitul Torah. So if my point is just that Rav Chaim Volozhiner is justifying pulling out the Mesilas Yesharim for that. So, kal v'chomer, do you need a justification for the, checking Facebook? That's to put it in one contemporary example. Okay, any questions or comments on this? Okay, so let's continue the theme. Perik Ches. Amna. So in light of all this, don mine dami, we can deduce from this the following. Me'inyan beis ha-mesholim shimshilu zal b'inyan ha-torah v'ha-yira. We have seen through Gemaras, through Chazal, two different mesholim, right? One is the otzar, the storehouse, and the other is the preservative, right? One is to hold it, one is to preserve it. From these two mesholim, we can see hefech ma'asher shagu b'zeh Kama me rabas bnei amenu shekovim kol esek limudam sifra yirab musar levad. In other words, this is classic pendulum swinging of Nefesh HaChaim. What we see from Perek Zayin to Perek Chet is what we've seen so far throughout all of Shaar Dalei, which is now that he has spent a little bit of time talking about how important, within reason, but how important it is Sifrei Musar or some kind of Yir Shamayim meditation before you learn, and then even a Chiddush in the middle of learning. But what's the Nefesh HaChaim worried about now that he's given all those props to the Sifrei Musar? You're going to go overboard. You're going to spend the whole Seder just doing Musar. So he says, whoa, 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 just, you know, chillax there. Now, hold on, boy. Even though you're supposed to be doing it, but you're not supposed to be doing too much. And we can see that in very vivid ways. This is fantastic pedagogically, right? If you ever had to do a shiur in your youth group or in camp or you'll be a teacher one day or something like that, right? You know, it's one thing to say these things in the abstract. It's not so complex. It's easy. You know, everyone will understand what he is saying, but giving vivid metaphors and imagery is obviously make it, to use the modern marketing term, sticky. They talk about that like in the business world, certain ideas, how come certain ideas are sticky? They grab hold of people's imagination, they grab hold of the marketplace. So by using these kind of imageries and metaphor images, so that makes these ideas sticky. So he says this idea, which again, he's already said a few times, and it's also just intuitive, that a little salt is good. It doesn't mean you should pour the whole salt onto your in your soup. You'll ruin it. So too, maybe in the right dose at the right time, your shemayim is good. Doesn't mean too much, right? You can make that case on your own. Says Chaim V'Lajner, that point is not just logical on its own. It actually flows naturally, organically from the two mashalim that we see. The first example that we saw was building the otzar, building the storage house for your tvua, for your grain. Would anyone have a havamino? Yes, I understand the importance. I'm not going to be one of these farmers who just farms, has nowhere to put the grain. I have to spend some time, even though it means I can't plant as much. Why am I wasting any minute? I should be planting right away. No. Fool. If I don't build the otzar, what's going to be the point? So, okay, you've convinced me. I know I have to spend the time, invest the time and money. I need to build an otzar. However, would it dawn on anyone, would anyone have a havamina that they should spend all of their time, yaso kolzmano, all of their time on the otzar? Even rubo, abinian ozavad, or even half or most of their time just on the otzar? And not v'lo yachnis bo tvu b'olam, and make that the end in of itself? Just focus on building the world's best otzar. Of course not. That's absurd, right? I think there's an English slang we call it like a white elephant, right? You could build this incredible building and then no one shows up, right? What's the point of the building if you're not going to, right? So you need to. Now sometimes that happens. That's a problem. But you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't say spend all your time and money on building the thing and then not figure out a way to fill it up. There'd be no point. That's obvious. So too, Cain. How can anyone think that the goal is shiasim kol kviyas limudo bevinyan haotzer shiyuros Hashem levad, spending all your time on building your otzer, your personal otzer, who otzer reik, but leaving it empty? And he'll say, at the end of the day, I spent so much time building that otzer. What do you have for yourself? One mitzvah. Hashem lokachatira. The game ain't Allah Hashem otzer. So, first of all, yes, he did one mitzvah. Now, atum yirat shamayim milta zutra sahi, if I can paraphrase the Gemara Brachos, yirat shamayim is no small thing. I'd sign up for that. But that's all you'd have at the end of the day. If all you do is spend your time on these spiritual meditations, musar, meditating, reading musar svarim, best case scenario, you have one mitzvah, he says. That is to say, the yirat shamayim. But that is as foolish, he says, as a farmer, so to speak, spending all of his time building the world's best otzar and not filling it with anything. First of all, it's just stupid. Second of all, to use the academic term, but second of all, he adds, I'm not sure why he needs to twist the knife, but he adds, twist on the old philosophical, riddle, if you have an otzar that has nothing in it, is it an otzar? He says no. That was the last thing he said. Ain Allah Hashem Otzar. You didn't even have an Otzar. Okay, Rabbi, you convinced me so much that I should spend my time on Yirat Shamayim so I could build an Otsar so I could sustain the Torah. But you can't be so myopic that all you do is build the Otsar. First of all, because then you're like an idiot who has an empty Otsar. And you don't even have an Otsar, because an Otsar is a functional term. All you have is an empty building, you know, with four walls and a roof. Okay, that's a, obviously, you know, it's a compelling point, but what I'm just stressing, maybe unnecessarily, because maybe it's obvious by now, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but his imagery and his metaphor make it much more sticky, make it much more of a, you know, not only I think it makes it clear in the moment, but I also think it also help you remember the point. So, you know, we're on the yin and the yang, after having told us how important it is to learn from Yirat Shamayim, but that can't be the entire focus. And where do I see this from? Number, he says he's going to make 2 points, but his first point is from the first metaphor that Yirat Shamayim is the Otsar. Shkoyach, I got it, and therefore you'd be a fool not to have an Otsar, but you'd be a bigger fool of only building an Otsar. Lo kivnu razal b'ma'amaram hanal ein lekadosh baruch hu, etc. Ela Otsar shel Yirat Shamayim v'vad. We saw previously that he quoted from Chazal that, you know, the one single Otsar you can have for Torah is Yirat Shamayim. So that was, you know, that was powering the last chapter or two. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Ein Hachanami. But what does that mean? Ein Oela al Ota HaYira Shetocha Munachim HaMotvos. That's only talking about the Yira that actually serves as the Otsar for Torah. Mikra, Mishnah, Halachos, Fishar, and Yonei Torah. Right? Again, that's the point. It's only an Otsar if it's holding things. So when Hashem gives tremendous props to someone who builds an Otsar, it is presupposing willy-nilly, right? Memela, automatically, ipso facto, pick all the words you prefer, or whatever word you prefer, it is assuming that you're filling it. Because remember, what did he say before? An Otsar that has nothing in it is not an Otsar. So Hashem praising the person who built the Otsar is only assuming that, of course, you filled the Otsar. And what is his, you know, Shitato? What does filling the Otsar mean? Filling it with Mikra Mishnah Halachos, Ashar Inyanei HaTorah. Shaira hi Otsar Matov. Yes, yes, says the Chaim Volozhiner. There is no better Otsar than Yirat Shamayim. Umishameres Shit Kaimu Etzlo Aruchim V'Shinun Mipiv. And that'll help you hopefully remember your learning. And you'll have facility, you'll have fluency in your learning. The Charuta Maluach Libo, it'll be engraved on your heart. However, all of this is assuming that there's actual substance, that there's actual content. As the Gemara very famously says, Brachos Daf, I forget, maybe Chet, I don't remember, right, that Hashem, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, right, the Beis HaMikdash was Hashem's, you know, so to speak, home. But now what happens after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? So the Gemara very famously says, Ein lo ela dalet amo shel, now it doesn't say Torah, or even something more abstract. It says specifically, Dalet Amos Shel Halacha Bilvad. So it says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, picking up on this, harking back to his thesis from a few chapters ago, what's Torah? What's quote-unquote Halacha? That's the real meat. The Sefer Yira and the Sefer Musar, so those things are not that. Those are things that have important instrumental value. I guess you could say they have an independent value of the Yirat Shamayim. And the Yirat Shamayim has incredibly important instrumental value. But that's only if you get to step two, which is being able to fill that Otsar. So all of that was with the first of the Mishalim. Okay, we'll just finish up. Let's see if I can understand. This might be Kabbalistic. Let's see if we can understand this. Beis habachinos shel Torah v'yiras Hashem b'midos elyonim. Okay, so yeah, it is a little Kabbalistic. When you talk about something up in the upper spheres, shebachinos, how do you quantify or how do you formulate the difference between Torah and Yira? Shebachinos ha'yira less le'megarma klum ki nekia ba'a. Rakshi Otsar beis kibul ha'shefa akelyum b'chinat ha'Torah. Okay, I don't really know what he's talking about. How about that? I don't know what he's talking about. I tried to look it up, but I didn't. So I'm really not sure what he means by this. But basically, I think his point is that the thing that is tangible is the Torah stuff, is what he calls the Gufei Torah Halachos. This other thing is important, but it's kind of this invisible, you know, instrumental value. It's not the thing which actually is, you know, is the form or is the body of the thing itself. And he ends with just the last pasuk, that Zeh Shomer HaKatuv, is the pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Ma'at B'Yiras Hashem Me'otzer Rav Muhumah. So again, if I was just reading the pasuk in general, I would say it's just, you know, an unqualified endorsement of Yirat Shamayim. contrasted with some kind of spiritual turmoil. Right, gives you clarity, even if you're a Shemaim, something like that. Maybe that, I didn't look at the Mefarshim, but that's what it seems like this Pashtus of the Pasuk is to me. But of course, Rav Chaim Volozhiner is focusing on which word? Ma'at. Tov ma'at b'yiras Hashem. Right? Again, it's a, I think salt's a good metaphor, right? A dash of salt, you know, can make all the difference. But too much, you know, and you ruin it. So, anyway, that's the two pieces. I'm pretty sure this is what we were up to. I hope we didn't just... I mean, we might have repeated Zion. I just can't remember.
Did we repeat it? I don't think we did Zion.
No, okay, good. So then this is what we were up to. Okay, good. So Tess, Emir Tashem, what we'll do next week. Tess is also small. Tess, had we had enough time, it would have been good to have probably, thematically, it would have been good to have done Tess today if we could have, only because Tess is where he then gets into the second mashal of the preservative. But again, you could easily... We'll be able to go through that quickly. You can easily imagine he's going to make the same point, right? You know, whatever it is that you put in, you know, deli or whatever, so that it lasts, right? But too much of it, you know, too much MSG or too much whatever it is that they put in these things, right? And that's, you know, that's gross. So it's the same idea. So it's not just that Mibachutz has a good, it's a svara not to overdo the Musar. He's saying is that the very Mamari Chazal and the very Mishalim, which Chazal used to tell us about the importance of Yerushalayim, Hain, it's those same Mishalim and those same Amari Chazal, which are telling us not to overdo it. And, you know, again, you don't see that. This is not the yeshiva that has that problem. We have the other problem of not doing enough of this. But there are yeshivas, both Israeli and American, you know, where you can see, you know, you go, again, you don't appreciate it maybe because you pretty much only know one yeshiva for the most part. But there are yeshivas where you'll go, and to the extent that people have any Sfarim at their Makom, they're Sifrei Makshava. They'll have a Gemara and Sifrei Makshava. I have been in both American and Israeli yeshivas where I've seen that, right? And that's just a symbol of the fact that, like, that's really what their main learning is. You know, maybe they have a simple learning of Gemara, maybe a little bit in the morning and night, but for the right? So again, what's the right proportion could depend on the person. I'm not saying it has to be one thing for everybody. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner's vision of ultimately what's the goal is not that stuff, right? That's number one. The other ha'ara I'll make to you, I don't know if I mentioned this previously, because it definitely would have been appropriate, maybe even an easier crowd. But a year or two ago, when a brother's wife came for Shabbos here in a Friday night Q&A, I forget how this came up, but he definitely made the point that the type of Musar that people like Rav Chaim Brisker were, didn't want to introduce it to Volozhin, Rav Chaim Volozhin here clearly has a very mixed attitude towards. It seems clear, and if you read Yisrael Salanter himself, a lot of this was like, you know, kind of what we might think of as like self-help techniques or meditation or, you know, and they have a place. But they weren't, you know, but now most of the type of quote-unquote Sifrei Musar we're learning are stringing together Gemaras, Midrashim, Mefarshim. Again, it's not rock-hard halacha, but it's not, I can't remember, I don't want to put words in Rosenzweig's mouth, even though I am quoting him, and I hope I'm not misquoting him. And he still, I'm sure if you ask him, still thinks you should spend most of your time learning what we would call real Torah. But his point, which made me, you know, it really made me pause and think about things in a clearer way, is, you know, but the type of Musar, quote unquote, that, and again, not every Musar, but some of the books you can buy nowadays are just, you know, you could in theory read them in the bathroom. In other words, there's no actual Torah. But some of the books, you know, most of the Sfarim, I don't just mean like Ramchal or, you know, that's obvious, but even some of the more modern books, you know, they're really elaborating on Psukim and Midrashim. And I'm not saying that's what you should spend all your day doing, but that's not as quote-unquote bad as what Rav Chaim Volozhiner is talking about, I don't think.